Okay, next up is huge news for content creators who use AI, which is probably about 80% of what we talk about on the show in one way or the other. This is news that the U.S. Copyright Office has recently clarified its position on the copyright ability of content that has been created using generative AI. So basically, the TLDR is that this legal framework emphasizes the necessity of human involvement or some level of human authorship in the creation of the content. First, the human authorship that's required. This means that purely AI-generated content or works that have been created entirely by AI with no involvement from a human are not going to be eligible for copyright protection. Now, the huge crux of this, guys, is that prompts themselves do not constitute authorship, and that's going to be a huge point for people. What is up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the AI Marketing Navigator. This is your daily compass in the ever-evolving world of AI marketing. Okay, navigators, we have an absolutely jam-packed daily digest. I feel like I say that for every daily digest now, which is probably a good thing. Cut here. There is, as usual, almost too much to process in the world of AI, so hopefully we can distill it down to a few useful things for you regarding the tools that we use as marketers, or particularly as marketers who may double as content creators in regard to today's episode. So today we are covering three updates in the AI world. One, the official rollout of ChatGPT's latest reasoning model, O3 Mini. So we have another model to add to our tool belt, and OpenAI has now become the latest drop in the AI model world. We'll also be talking about some clarification coming down from the U.S. Copyright Office regarding copyright rules and enforcement for AI-generated content or content generated in conjunction with humans or by humans with AI, and we'll break all that down as well. Lastly, we'll touch on Google's new Ask For Me feature, and this is a decent daily dose of agentic technology and AI behavior where you and we will very quickly have AI talking to AI, one agent to another. Cut here. And really, I just can't wait to hear some of the recordings. Okay, so like I said, lots to cover tonight, so let's go ahead and dive in. First, the release of the O3 Mini model and O3 Mini High reasoning model and the official rollout. We talked about some partial availability and testing availability in the past, but of course, there's going to be no huge surprises here as far as the news that the level of reasoning has advanced. It's been designed to take things to the next level regarding STEM-related tasks, so things like coding and mathematics and science, but all at higher speeds and efficient processing as well, more so than the previous models. Again, no huge shocks there, though apparently the model actually does walk the walk in regards to the numbers on the benchmarks as far as performance improvements go for speed and accuracy, and one would definitely expect that. So check out the links in the show notes, as always, for deep dives into the technical specifications. But just to throw some key benchmarks in some key areas of improvement at you for speed and accuracy again, for instance, probably the most notable thing, the response time for O3 Mini is 24% faster than O1 Mini. And if you're out there asking why there's no O2, long story short, there was a copyright or trademark issue with a news corporation or a news conglomerate or something like that in the UK, I believe it was. Excuse my ignorance about UK media. So in addition to that 24% improvement in speed, you're also seeing the higher scores on STEM benchmarks for mathematics and science and coding. Links in the show notes for those scores. We're just going to take their words that they are, in fact, improving in the leaderboards and in the arenas. They look pretty good to me, considering the PhD level benchmark tests they are taking. Apparently about 84% in mathematics, 77% in science. So again, looking pretty strong as far as the scores go. Cut here. Now, for maybe the most exciting part about the announcement, anyone listening to the show right now, if you sign up for ChatGPT, you will have access to their highest level reasoning model, O3 Mini. Whether that's free or plus or pro, the breakdown between those ascending paid tiers is just going to be by usage. So your usage is going to be limited, but you can test OpenAI's flagship reasoning model right now. Although you can be pretty sure that there's at least some beta version of the next model or the highest level intelligence that they have that we don't have access to. So again, it just breaks down to usage. At the pro tier, you're going to get that unlimited access to these models. At the plus tier, apparently you'll have 150 messages per day. Okay, next up is huge news for content creators who use AI, which is probably about 80% of what we talk about on the show in one way or the other. This is news that the U.S. Copyright Office has recently clarified its position on the copyright ability of content that has been created using generative AI. So basically, the TLDR is that this legal framework emphasizes the necessity of human involvement or some level of human authorship in the creation of the content. if it's going to be using AI in order to qualify for copyright protection. And this is really just an echo of what people in generative AI have been saying for a long time, that the more human influence and involvement you can have in the process, the better the result is going to be. And hopefully you've been practicing that, because the legal breakdowns are starting to shape up that way as well. There is also some guidance that gets handed down as well on how this AI assisted, and that's going to be the key specification. AI assisted works are going to be handled under this copyright law. So let's break it down a little bit. First, the human authorship that's required. This means that purely AI generated content or works that have been created entirely by AI with no involvement from a human are not going to be eligible for copyright protection. Now, the huge crux of this, guys, is that prompts themselves do not constitute authorship. And that's going to be a huge point for people. Many people's first reaction is probably like, oh, good, my prompt is creative and that constitutes human authorship. But nope, that is not how it's going to be interpreted legally. It's going to be interpreted as instructions or ideas, which are not protectable under copyright laws. Again, more details to all of this in the links in the show notes. But the final output really just reflects the AI's interpretation of your instructions. The AI still created it. Cut here. Now, back to that human authorship requirement, because we jumped ahead a little bit into kind of the role of prompts. If a human does exercise creative control over the process, such as by modifying, arranging, or integrating AI-generated elements into a larger work, so if you take that output and you do something creative with it, it may qualify for protection under copyright law. So again, you take your generated image, you edit it, you modify it, you incorporate it into a larger project, which is another very key part, the incorporation of these AI-generated elements into greater works. So for example, a movie would use certain elements or could use certain elements or scenes that are generated by AI. Or a really good example is the effects for a movie. So maybe a film is made entirely in a traditional way, but they use AI to apply the special effects. That film, that movie can still be copyrighted as long as that human authorship level is adequate. And at least I think a traditional movie filming scenario would be adequate in this example if all you were doing was adding some special effects that used AI. But to that point, another note from this ruling is that the Copyright Office is going to examine each case individually. It's going to be a case-by-case basis to determine whether or not that human authorship rises to a legally adequate level to be protected. So the answer is still really, it depends according to the office. But still, a significant more amount of structure and guidelines now. And as the rundown.ai put it in their highlight of this story in a recent newsletter, the ruling is a bit of a best of both worlds situation. You know, for the creatives, you can't just have any person walk into this virtual graphic designer role and just prompt Midjourney or prompt a model to create something and then all of a sudden be a professional artist. That's not quite going to do it as far as copyright law anyway is concerned. They may view themselves as a professional artist, but the Copyright Office doesn't quite yet anyway. So there still needs to be creative human authorship out here. And I think this ruling is positive in that it's really a step forward in establishing something that we talk about so much on the show, which is that AI is a tool to be used by people on a great spectrum of creativity. I'd imagine the more creative you are, the better you're going to be able to use that tool, and the easier it is going to be for you to reach that legal level of human authorship. Okay, last but certainly not least, what might be the bit of news that inspired one of our test titles or titles for tonight's video, The Agents Are Among Us. And this is an experimental search labs feature from Google called Ask For Me. It's AI powered and it's designed to make phone calls to businesses on behalf of users in search or in maps. I'm not trying to start any debates about what's agentic and what's not, but it's at least a brush of agentic technology and certainly in that direction. And for my purposes, I'm going to call it agentic. So I guess I was going to draw a bit of a line there anyway. So hopefully I will start a debate with somebody about what agentic AI is, because I'd love to see that in the comments. So hit me with why this isn't agentic AI. I'd love to hear it. Obviously, all the use cases are for like gathering pricing information and questions about services. So the FAQs, all the frequently asked questions, all the things that you would commonly need to call a local business for. But apparently, interestingly, the technical backbone of this actually comes from Google's Duplex technology. It was the tech that enabled enabled restaurant reservations in Google Search and Maps, if you ever experienced that. Now, apparently, and I found this out because, of course, the first thing I wanted to do was have an agent call Digital Pop and see what it sounded like. But apparently, the service scope right now is pretty limited. It's only for two types of businesses, nail salons and auto repair shops. But obviously with plans to hopefully expand in the future. So basically how this would work is you would opt into these search labs, which is a bunch of experimental features and tools from Google, link in the show notes. But you have to hop onto a wait list at this point. And then in the search results, again, for oil change services or nail salons right now, there's going to be a little ask for me option, which would appear. And it's going to prompt the user to actually provide specifically what they're asking about. So work to be done to their model of vehicle, or the oil change for their specific vehicle, or prices for a certain nail product or service. And then with those details, the AI is going to place a call to that business. And this is where I think it gets a little clunky, and it's not going to fully replace the convenience of a quick 5 to 10 minute call to a business, because apparently it's going to take approximately 30 minutes and then you're going to receive a summary of that info via email or text message. But if you are a person who maybe finds social interactions or phone interactions at least difficult, whether that's social anxiety or individuals with disabilities, or if you really are just looking for that level of convenience, maybe you have a bunch of phone calls to make to a bunch of different places and you'd rather just have it all summarized for you at the end of a day, I could definitely see the uses for sure in those cases. And there are some limitations and challenges. It's early days in the feature right now. Some businesses, for instance, could very well be reluctant to engage with AI-driven calls. And that's one thing I'm very curious to hear about or see more about anyway, is how these calls are going, how these businesses are handling these phone calls or reacting to these phone calls from these agents. We may have to do some follow-up digging on that one. But the main limitation right now is those business types. It's also going to be restricted to US-based English-speaking users. And again, there is a waitlist to join. So if you haven't realized it yet, with all of the bevy of outbound phone call AI tools and reception inbound phone call AI tools, let me officially put you on notice with this Google Ask for Me feature that the agents are among us. We are 100% having phone calls being made between two AI agents. And I think I'm going to make it my mission to set up a couple of agents to have them call one another and transcribe that conversation, because I'm very curious to see some of those interactions. So like I said, the agents are among us. Okay, that does it for today's episode. If you enjoyed the show or found it useful in any way, please do me a favor and follow on Spotify or subscribe on your podcast platform of choice. A review on top of that would be even more appreciated. It is by far the most helpful thing you could do for the show. Also, if you are watching on YouTube, make sure to hit that subscribe button and turn on all notifications so you get notified each day when our episode drops. Until then, and as always, thank you for joining me, and remember to stay curious, stay consistent, and keep navigating forward. Bye.